Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with Erica Busey, my wife, also known affectionately to some of you as Machen's Warrior Princess. And today we're going to be speaking about a new book written by Kevin DeYoung and illustrated by Don Clark, titled The Biggest Story, How the Snake Crusher Brings Us Back to the Garden, published by Crossway. Erica, tell us about this new book.
This is a book about biblical theology for children. It says on the back, ages 5 to 11. I think you could go a little bit younger or a little bit older with it, too. But it's for elementary school kids, I think.
Mm-hmm. And what format does it take? Is it just a regular paperback, or what are we looking at here?
This is a beautiful book. It's a picture story Bible, basically. It's not a story Bible. It's biblical theology. It has...
It's larger format hardcover, right?
Yeah, large format hardcover, really heavy paper. It's not a board book, but it has a nice thick paperweight, something that you could read over and over again, and it's really going to stand up to it. And it has just beautiful illustrations that are really vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about it.
Well, when I heard about this, I was really excited that someone had written a biblical theology for children. I think that is a really big need. I teach Sunday school for preschoolers, mm-hmm. and, you know, we have storybooks for our own preschooler and things like that. And I think little kids are really good at learning stories in the Bible. You know, who Abraham was, who Joseph was, things like that. And they learn different miracles that Jesus did. And like, we use GCP materials in Sunday school. I think those are awesome at always looking forward, pointing the students to Christ. But I also think it's important, even for the youngest children, to see how all these things are fitting into an overarching redemptive story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wow, this is awesome. Let's see what this book is about. So I got my copy. And like I said, it's beautiful. The illustrations are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is set up like a story. I guess it started, Kevin DeYoung told a story, I think, on Christmas Eve to his kids. And from there, he went ahead and wrote this book. It's very casual language, stuff that kids are going to relate to. And it's in chapters, and it starts with the garden, and the whole kind of thrust of the book is in the subtitle, How the Snake Crusher Brings Us Back to the Garden.
Mm-hmm. So does it touch on most major points of covenant history and works all the way towards moving that redemptive thread or identifying and tracing that redemptive historical thread all the way through covenant history and God's relation to mankind?
Absolutely. It's going to touch on like all the major covenants, mm-hmm. Different aspects of those, with kind of an overarching story of how God is relating to his people. And it's going to use terms that kids can relate to, like the people disobeyed. They were really, really bad. They kept on being really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids are just going to get it. They're going to understand mm-hmm. what he's talking about in this book. But it does highlight most of the major things, I think.
Yeah, so clearly it's a very strong offering and a lot of good things. Just for the sake of readers and potential purchasers, do you have any quibbles or criticisms of the title?
Well, the title itself might raise some issues for some people. How the Snake Crusher Brings Us Back to the Garden. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a pretty strong emphasis that the goal of redemptive history is to go back to the garden and not necessarily that focus on the new heavens and the new earth.
As a consummation. So,
yeah.
So even for children, this could have been clearer and maybe improved in terms of emphasizing the fact that eschatology precedes soteriology. Even eschatology in some ways is built into protology, and so that the goal of redemption is not merely to restore us to the original creation, but to bring us to a place that was originally intended and even offered to Adam in the covenant of works, or the covenant of creation, the covenant of life, whatever title you prefer there. Yeah, that's helpful. So that's a very Vossian theme that I guess even from the subtitle and from the emphasis of the book seems to be a little lacking then, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like reading the last page. He says, "The Snake Crusher's coming back again to wipe away all the bad guys and wipe away every tear. He's coming to make a new beginning and to finish what he started. He's coming to give us the home we once had and might have forgotten that we lost." Uh-huh. I mean, I really have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to going back to the Garden of Eden.
No.
I'm looking forward to receiving a glorified body and being with Christ in heaven.
It's a valid point.
No,
it's built in, and it's not giving us in one sense the fullest hope of what the Bible's pointing us toward.
Yeah.
Revelation ends in the new heavens and new earth, which is better than Genesis 1 and 2. Even though God created all things and said they were good, they weren't best.
Yeah. Right.
They weren't consummate.
Hmm. Right. And maybe it's easier for kids to understand. You know, they can understand the concept of the garden. They can look at pictures of the garden and they can say, oh, you know, they didn't have to work as hard. Yes, they took care of the garden and were caretakers. And there was an element of work, but it wasn't the, you know, backbreaking labor after the fall. So there is kind of a concrete image for children there. But I think that children are capable of understanding, you know, or fuller eschatology.
You don't have to use those words, but I mean, you could do it in a very casual or simple way that's nevertheless a little more faithful to biblical eschatology.
Yeah. I also just wanted to mention the illustrations again. Like I said, they're beautiful. They're really incredible in how they bring out some of the key themes. Children and adults alike are going to be drawn into them and engaged by them. I looked at some other reviews online of this book, and it's interesting in that some people think that this book includes images of Jesus, and some people think that it doesn't include images of Jesus. I'm going to say that it does include images of Jesus because there are multiple pages where there is an image that is intended to be a representation of Christ.
Like what? Like his hand or something or what?
There's a baby in the Christmas story that has eyeballs. Like you can tell that it's a baby. Like that is Jesus.
Yeah, who else is
it? There's Mary Joseph. There's also...
These must be like adoptionist people with adoptionist Christologies that don't think they're images of Jesus. He wasn't Christ yet because... yeah, that's a picture.
So
okay.
There's a picture. It's definitely a representation of God the Father calling Abraham. It's kind of like a white circle with some lines shooting out of it, but it is a pictorial representation of God.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
That one's a little different than that image of a baby, but still.
Yeah, so you don't know...
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be an image. There is there's a hand with a nail hole through it. There is a body standing in front of the empty tomb. Maybe this is like a silhouette of Jesus's head with a crown around it. So there's some...
Yeah, there's another one. Seem to be somewhat minimized, and but nevertheless, there are images that people are going to want to be aware of. You know, for listeners that might not know, and many Reformed people, confessing Reformed Christians, often do not believe that making images of God in any form is correct. It's a violation of the second commandment. And then there's debate on that issue, but it's not an uncommon view among confessional types. It's a view that I hold, a view that you hold. And so we're very sensitive to these things, especially in children's books, because it's difficult to find books that do not have images, especially books for children that do not have images of Christ. Now, some people might say, well, you know, the second commandment is about worshiping the image or worshiping through the image. But... often we would point to the third commandment, which is taking the names Lord in vain. We're not supposed to do that. But that also, if you read the interpretation of that commandment in the Westminster Standards, speaks more than just, verbally taking his name in vain, but it's any inadequate worship. So if we see an image that's representing Christ and we recognize that as an image of God and an image of Christ, but yet we do not worship God, then we're taking his name in vain because we're contemplating the Lord without giving him due worship and service. So you're kind of on the horns of a dilemma, either breaking the second or the third commandment when you're confronted with an image. But that's again, a debated point, but it's a view that's, I believe, is sound, and it's held by many Reformed people. So it's helpful to know.
Yeah, and I would say, I think a lot of people would be very comfortable with the images in this book. Mm-hmm. The Westminster Bookstore does say, they usually have a disclaimer mm-hmm. with all children's books. They do say that this book contains images of Christ. Yeah. Recognize that. This is very clearly a silhouette of a person with a crown of thorns. However, the artist did take care to kind of minimize.
Well, it's not European Jesus,
No, it's definitely not long-haired, Anglo-Saxon European Jesus.
Still.
It's abstract, but...
Well, the Lord was displeased with Aaron for making a golden calf. They didn't think the Lord looked like a golden calf. It was a representation that was symbolic of his strength.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not happy. This so even depicting, kind of a sun with light, maybe not. Even that is bordering on territory that seems to be a little bit too akin to Aaronic territory, at least on that front.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I was disappointed to see some of it because I don't really know.
It's not a view that's held by a majority of evangelicals. It's not surprising. And Crossway is a very good publisher, but they're serving a much wider range of Christianity and Christians than merely confessing Reformed types. But
yeah, most people aren't going to think twice about it. They're wonderful illustrations. But it is something, I think people should be aware of it because you might, especially with some of the discussion of it, you might think that there is nothing that even remotely resembles a picture, mm-hmm. Of Jesus in this book.
So overall, how would you assess this title with those caveats compared to other children's books and, in the Christian space? What would you say?
I would say that it's really something pretty different than most of what's out there. It's a lot of children's books, children's story Bibles even, are moralistic. It's a quick story and, you can be like Daniel mm-hmm. or be like Joseph. There's some books, like Christian Focus has some good story Bibles, I think, that shy away from that and tend to be more toward, mm-hmm. Pointing forward to Christ and seeing Christ in all the stories and stuff. This is different than any children's Bible that's on our shelf or that I've had. And it's not even a children's Bible.
Right.
It is, it's a big narrative. It's mm-hmm. a story of how God, is in covenant with his people.
So it is not a children's Bible. It's a biblical theology and narrative, but mm-hmm. yet it's describing a story that's different than any other story.
Right. Right. Along those lines, I was disappointed when I opened the book and the first words I read were "once upon a time."
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is kind of a genre indication that this
tale is
not true.
Mm-hmm.
We try really hard in our home to make a distinction between stories and fairy tales and things that are not true versus the Bible. I don't even really like to say Bible story because story, I think, could have the indication to a kid that it's not true. So we like to really focus on the fact that the Bible is true. It is God's word. The things that we learn about in the Bible are true.
And actually happened.
In history.
Yeah.
Right.
as they are described.
Yeah. And so starting this with once upon a time, to me, is confusing to kids, because once upon a time means this is not true. It's made up.
In every other story.
Right.
It's a quibble, but it's an important point.
I think it's something that, I mean, if I read this, I would leave that out when I read it aloud to a child.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not a big deal, but it's a true story. Mm-hmm. The story that he tells is great. You know, it is the story of redemption. Mm-hmm. And it's true, and kids need to know that it's true.
Even when
it's told in a story format, this is very much a story format, but it is about true things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great to see books like this. We hope more would come out in the future. And we do thank Mr. DeYoung, who's been a guest on our programs multiple times. We thank him for putting this together. We also thank Don Clark for illustrating this so beautifully. And it's a different book. We're very thankful for that. The Biggest Story, How the Snake Crusher Brings Us Back to the Garden. Yay, brings us past the garden. We say, smiling. Very thankful for this, and thankful for Crossway for publishing it. And you can find out more information about this book, as well as how to buy it, at WTSBooks.com. Thanks so much for listening. Pick up and read.